Hi, my name is Tanola Oliver. I am the COO of Elect Leadership Academy Foundation and the host of the Making of the Mogul radio show and magazine. Today, I am talking about the last chapter of Outliers, a lived case study of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. The construct that I'm talking about is social economics. And so, as always, I am unpacking a narrative and a parallelism between a story that Curtis 50 Cent Jackson shared about his grandfather, and then my experiential knowledge and what I've experienced and how that particular narrative unpacked in my life. And what it means, what social economics means. And so there's different levels of social economics. There's the social economics that you have within a family unit. There's the social economics that you have within a community. And then there's the social economics that you have in the world. And so I think Curtis 50 Cent Jackson's life and that case study of who he is, when we talk about outliers, it really is a testament of how social economics have affected his ability to be effective in the earth because of how he has done the right thing about by the right people. And that creates a social economics that is more than anything that we can contribute in to the universe. It's just doing right by the right people, and that's anybody, right? Anybody is always the right person if you're willing to do right by them. And the social economics that creates is worth more than money itself. And so I hope you enjoy today's episode. And in order you can get in contact with me to order a copy of Outliers or to bring the art exhibition of Outliers to your museum or to the gallery. My email address is tanola.oliver@electleadershipacademy or electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. Enjoy today's episode. Peace. Hey, good morning. My name is Tanola Oliver. I am the COO of ELA, the ELA Foundation, as well as the host of the Making of the Mogul radio show and the Making of the Mogul magazine. So today is part two to the introduction of the relevancy of recalibration, what integrity means to me, my 7-year journey of celibacy. And so today I won't really be talking about celibacy in itself, but I do want to continue the conversation about Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and why I felt it was relevant to present a case study before the world, because as I've mentioned in times past, I've done the research on many individuals, some of them just like day-to-day, everyday people such as ourselves. I did the work, I did the research, and it is archived for the ELA Foundation. The reason why I decided to bring the research for Curtis 50 Cent Jackson to the forefront was because I felt like it was necessary. His brand and his personality was large enough that people would recognize the theory behind the data. And what I was presenting to the world, my thought process, my theoretical perspective, what it means to be an outlier, how it makes a difference, how faith and prayer and following the structure of something bigger than you. And I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about kingdom principles. I'm talking about the reciprocity of sowing and reaping and biblical principles, how it makes a difference in the world, how it makes a difference to an individual's life and its representation in the earth. That was really an important story for me to present. And so, like I said, I don't think that it was by coincidence that I had this gravitational pull towards Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. And I don't know that it was just me. I think somewhere we just, like, the paths just met, like, in the middle of the road, right? I mentioned that coincidentally, right? He made some visits to this geographical region, and it offered me an opportunity to be able to further unpack my business model as not just from a theoretical a theoretical perspective, but also from an experiential knowledge to see how he handles his business upfront and personal. And so I have a lot of things that I want to talk about this morning. And I apologize for my voice. I have a very busy day today, and I wanted to bring my thoughts to this platform as soon as possible because I have some appointments pretty early this morning. And so let's talk about this notion of karma. Okay. And again, I could not find a more perfect example of the representation of kingdom principles in the earth in a non-traditional example that is contrary to, or not necessarily contrary or contradictory, but an example of how our thoughts and our ways, the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, that my ways are higher than your ways. That's what the Lord says. And for me, Curtis Jackson was that example of that standard in the earth of what it looks like when the Lord says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. Someone who represented righteousness in the earth effectually prayed for Curtis, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, the representation of faith, prayer, and kingdom principles have unfolded in his life in an unprecedented way that we would be remiss not to recognize the path of excellence and achievement that he has embarked upon. And as I mentioned, I said there is a lot of parallelisms between the narratives that I hear Curtis talk about in my life. And so oftentimes I've tried not to interject my personal stories into the narrative, but I think sometimes it's necessary because since I brought myself to this platform and created this platform, it has been misunderstood in a lot of ways. Not because I've said things to be intentionally hurtful. Like, I think that my platform is one of the safest spaces on the planet, where if I've said something and the Holy Ghost begin to work on me about making it right, I've always re-entered this platform and brought some redress to it. I think it is probably the most multicultural platform. But people are people, right? And so sometimes people just have a problem with an individual having influence at the end of the day. And then sometimes it could be the race of the person, right? Maybe an African American woman shouldn't have a certain level of influence according to the psychological perspectives of some people's narrow-mindedness and their experiences and what they've been taught and how they've been brought up. Whatever the reason is, I cannot be intentional enough about stating that my life is covered, my son's life is covered, the people that I love are covered, and I have seen the effectualness of the prayers of people who have prayed for me and the effectualness of me praying for my son, the supernatural protection that operates in the earth. And so it takes a certain amount of faith to come to this type of platform on a regular basis and be a conduit of information. And people love toxicity. And so I've decided to be the light. And we all know that darkness hates light, right? I am appreciative of the people who I encounter who approach me with kindness and with the reciprocity of just the normal rules of engagement, right? So there's so many conversations that I want to say today. And first and foremost, again, I wrote a post about the writers, and the writers are the spice of life. And I've seen the shift in the trajectory of the culture because the writers have begun to write stories that have a different twist and stories that permeate the light and veer from the darkness. And we've had so many stories historically throughout the past 7, 10 years that have depicted the negativity or the darkness in the earth, but hasn't really been a representation of the full gamut and the full understanding of the story. And so a lot of times I talk about my divorce and, well, not a lot of times, but every now and again I talk about my divorce and I talk about the spirit of jealousy is a real thing. And I didn't realize, so I rarely talked about my life, my marriage, the things that took place within my household. I very rarely talked about that publicly. The only thing that I really talked about on my platform, every now and again, I would interject a personal experience. But for the most part, the only thing that I represented on my platform was my faith, right? And people process that in whatever way that they wanted to process it. I was listening to an interview the other day, and I talked about yesterday how there were people who hated the amount of respect and admiration that I showed my husband. And to this day, I'm not 100% if they felt the way that they felt because they felt some type of way about me. They felt the way that they felt because they felt some type of way about him, or because we really were soulmates and just the gelling and what we represented in the earth just drew a certain amount of controversy, because we were strong together. And I think that was just a threat in the earth, period. And so a lot of people did a lot of things to be a negative influence to me as it related to my husband as it related to me. There was not a day where I was not in the workforce, not out and about, and somebody felt that it was okay to say something negative about my husband, right? And this was like in the early part of our marriage, and then it to the point that people realized I didn't play that, right? He was the head of my household. I was 100% for him, and there was nothing that nobody could say to get me to go against that man, because I knew what he represented in my life, and in all his imperfections, he was still 100% for me, right? In all of his imperfections, and he had a lot of imperfection, as did I. But I think where the turmoil was in the earth and why we appeared to be such a threat to mediocrity and to the status quo was because despite all of our imperfections, we were still 100% for one another. And so I realized that the prayer and the faith that was on my life was very influential to the natural flow of his spirit and the natural flow of his actions. And so, while I've seen a shift in his personality and his behavior since we've been divorced, because we're not in the same dwelling, right? We're in different structures, and the influence of the faith and who I am, he is no longer a direct recipient of that, because when we were married, he was in my house, or we were well, I was in his house, or however you want to say it, and he felt the impact of my prayer daily, right? He felt the impact of my faith daily, and he was saturated in the prayer that I produced daily, effectually. And so I've seen a shift in the contamination, right, in his personality, in his actions, and whatever people have fed him, about me as a woman, as an individual. But because of the journey that the Lord knew that I would have to take, upon divorcing, he placed me in a situation and on a path that would make me blameless. And I'm talking about my path of celibacy. And sometimes we just have to be dedicated to the path that the Lord places upon us. Despite what we would naturally have chosen for ourselves, right? And I mean that in all the positive ways. People often take the word and make it a vessel of suffering and a vessel of dishonor and a vessel of rules and if you're gonna serve in the kingdom, then you'll have to suffer this and suffer that. what I'm hoping that as a writer in this space who has a strong faith life that was raised in the church, that I'm able to shed some light on, one, the fact that the Bible was a tool that has been utilized to control and manipulate people, and that started with slavery. And so we still have some of those teachings that are toxic. Like the word is the most transformational document and account of what empowerment and the embodiment of power and authority and ability and transformational power of what it looks like to be connected to somebody who, and when I say somebody, I'm talking about Christ, not none of us. I'm talking about Christ. Christ paid the price, right? So you don't have to rewalk the path that Christ already has walked, right? Like the suffering, the persecution. The Lord has already walked that path for us. And so though we'll have some trials and tribulations in life, I hope that you tune your ear into the stories on entertainment platforms and into voices on gospel platforms that preach the real gospel of Jesus Christ, and that he is the truth, and that he is the light, and that he is liberation, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We don't have to rewalk the path of Christ. We don't have to be the baby Christ in the lives of our family members or friends or any. We don't have to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ, because Christ already paid that price. And the narrative and the example that we've been looking at and watching in the earth has been so toxic. And so when I talk about a story and a case study of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, we have a story of redemption and grace, right? Somebody who lived a life in the beginning many, many years ago, right? He has, his life has three times more legal activity, right? Than the small ratio of when he was involved in street activity. But we talk about what the story of redemption does and the power of prayer and being reared in a faith-filled household, that redemption belongs to those that believe, and redemption belongs to the children of those who have been effectual in prayer and effectual in righteousness. And this thing of karma, people made that up, right? As a matter of fact, I think karma is a witchcraft term. And so dark, witchcraft is darkness. None of that outshines the light, which is the biblical principles of Jesus Christ. Nothing is more powerful or effectual than the effectiveness of biblical principles and what Jesus Christ represents in the earth. There is nothing more powerful than that, right? Even my friends who are Muslims still bow, present, and give honor to the story and the path of Jesus Christ. There is not a more powerful story in the earth, right? The reason the case study is so important to me is because it represents in the earth what the real redemption in the story of Jesus Christ looks like in a physical and in a real-time, real-life story, particularly for someone that the status quo would say is not worthy or deserving of recognition, achievement, or any certain level of embellished success, right? So we're talking about a man that used to hustle in the street, who encountered the right people who believed in him and seen something that they couldn't articulate and didn't know what it was on his life. And now this man is a billionaire, and he's taken the tools, the talents, and the abilities that he's been afforded, and he's representing something in the earth that he's sowing seeds and digging wells in the earth and allowing people to be successful on top of his platform. And he's created many brands, and he's created multimillionaires, right? I don't know a better case study than what prayer, effectual prayer, and faith can do for an individual's life, what redemption looks like. And so this notion, like I said, it really has been, and so often we talk about, is art imitating life or is life imitating art? I don't know, right? What we want to refer to it as, but I know that entertainment has an impact, and the narratives and the storylines have been contradictory to the real flow of the Holy Spirit and what it represents in the earth. Karma is a lie. Reaping and sowing biblical principles is real. And so this notion that you can do something to somebody and you can be a curse to them, it is a lie, right? What you do to somebody to try and trigger them to respond and do something to you, the Bible says that that's manipulation, right? Well, we refer to it as manipulation. The Bible refers to it as witchcraft, right? And it really is just a path and a spirit of darkness that is so contradictory to who the Lord is. And what I want people to understand, and for me, Curtis is that example of, look at all the things people have said and done to make this man fail and to stifle his success and his accomplishment. And he's been living beneath the surface as a billionaire since 2007, right? And so what they really were doing, right, was blessing him. They thought they were cursing him, but what they really were doing was blessing him, because there was something bigger and larger that his grandmother prayed upon his life and placed upon his life that made him an example of what the power, the authority of Jesus Christ can do, right? This entire notion, people have really leaned into this spirituality thing, right? And into this universe thing. There is nothing that you can do to somebody else that's going to be more of an impact on them than it's going to be on you. You don't release a spirit in somebody else's life. You release a spirit in your own life, right? You can't do something to just a regular person and not expect that to multiply back into your life, right? Let alone somebody that has prayer and faith and the bloodstained banner, right, of the representation of kingdom principles intentionally resting upon their life. I don't care how much you don't like it. I don't care how much it feels, right? Because righteousness can feel offensive to somebody who's not living right. or to somebody who has an antichrist spirit on their life, right? Holiness can feel offensive to somebody who ain't living right. Not because somebody is pushing their belief on somebody else. The problem is what it represents in the earth, right? But you can't do something to that person thinking that you're going to be a curse. Can you imagine that people are like walking around right now in 2023 thinking that they can do something to a person with the intentionality of hoping that they are cursing somebody? Like we have been so ultra focused on who we think we are, right? That we think that we have the power and the authority to be a curse to somebody. And there has been a power in the in an authority in the earth before eternity, right? Before the foundations of the world. And you think your little bit of power can contradict the power of the kingdom and who owns the earth and who has all power and ability in his hands. No, what you do to somebody else is a spirit that you open up in your own life. Hear me? I've been living long enough to see it. Is what I'm saying. And so Curtis told a story the other day. And so for a season, I did not have to hear negativity about my ex-husband. It hasn't been until recently, I think, because people wanted to be an embarrassment to me. They wanted me to feel a certain type of way that I was with a man for 30 years and we end up divorced. And here you are, this woman of faith. And here you are with this platform of prayer, and your husband walked away from you after 30 years, and because people have wanted to be an embarrassment to me. That's why I said I can only imagine the things that Ashanti probably has had to experience and the things that she's probably had to listen to because people just didn't like what she represented, right? As a woman. Like some people just hate to see success on somebody else's life, right? And Nelly is an attractive and a successful and a wealthy man. And him bringing her publicly and acknowledging her publicly as a relationship, some people hated that, right? Because here she was, he snatched her out of that darkness, right? Of being somebody's behind the door boo, right? And offered her a slate and a platform that somebody was showing their affection and their love for her publicly, right? Some people hate that and what that represents. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So that's why I said I can only imagine what she's had to deal with these past several years as her career took that pause and that setback for several years, all because a man wanted to show her love and affection publicly and show her that she deserved to be loved publicly and not privately, right? And so I didn't start hearing people talk negatively. And here's the thing is, it always amazes me what people are willing to say to a woman that they'll never say to a man to his face, right? And so here and there, and people will say things about my ex-husband to me to be an embarrassment to me, or because they hate Black men, or because of just what my ex-husband and I represented in the earth, right? 50 Cent told a story, a lot of parallelisms in our life. 50 Cent told a story about his grandfather giving his entire check to his grandmother. And what that meant to his grandfather, he said he his grandfather explained that she would never think about what she didn't have because she knew that he was giving her, meaning his the grandfather and grandmother. The grandmother knew that the grandfather was giving her all that he had, which would overshadow anything that she didn't have. My ex-husband was one of the most old-fashioned men that I probably have ever met in my entire life until I encountered this story about Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. We owned a janitorial company, and we had about 20 to 25 independent contractors and several accounts, whether they were recurring accounts or larger construction accounts. And we managed and supervised and paid, it depending on the workflow, anywhere from at some points it may have been 10, but at times leading up to about 20 independent contractors. So that was an economic pillar that we were creating in the community that we served, right? Allowing people to earn an income working a few hours a day or working on a contract, and to be able to provide a reference of employment to people who had been unemployable, right? No wonder the marriage was under attack, right? Because it just wasn't about them just showing up for 2 hours or for 4 hours and doing the work, and that was it. No, we were providing references and helping people to rebuild their lives. I put my, we had payroll for myself and for my ex-husband. My ex-husband refused his payroll and allowed me to do what was necessary with the money, never asked me, never questioned me, turned over that entire check to me. And people were upset that I would be in the middle of a party and get up and leave because I wanted my husband to know that there was nothing never going on in my life that was more important than him. Or because I would make it a point to say, I won't be able to make this appointment because this is family time for me, or this is something I have to do something for my husband. And it was not a secret. Everybody knew how I felt about my husband. I made it a point because I wasn't going to allow myself to be I was around a lot of wealthy men, right? On any given day, and I'm not just talking about men in my community. I'm talking about the men that I did business with out of California and out of Texas, around the world, right? Out of France, right? I was in the in the presence of a lot of wealthy men, and I just wanted the example of who I was to represent the woman of integrity who loved her family, loved her husband, and there was no compromise for that. And people hated that. So when you encounter me and you trying to put a bug in my ear about my ex-husband or try to make me feel some type of way about him, I know that that his behavior and his actions since we have been divorced is not the man that he is. I know who the man I was that I married, and I know who he is when he's with me as a woman and as a wife. And so you can stop. You can stop attempting to tear down my ex-husband and stop trying to bring some type of shame or embarrassment upon me about my ex-husband, because I know who that man was. And the separation of us created two individuals that we may have never been. Because when you're soulmates with a person, you're a different person, and you produce at a different level when you're with somebody that your soul was intended to be knit with. And all the people who had an issue with that and decided that they were going to be an enemy of my marriage, you didn't release a spirit of rejection and abandonment in my life. You released a spirit of rejection and abandonment in your life. I know who I am. My son knows who he is. And after today, my ex-husband will know who he is. This platform is so important to me, and it is so important to me to tell the story of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, because personalities and achievements of individuals like Curtis who come from where we come from, our stories get suppressed. And then writers and producers, they pick the darkness that has occurred in our life and they try to sit it on a platform, right? Like that's where our story started and where it ends. For me, Curtis Jackson as a case study is redemption for so many of us that come from where he comes from. And it was high time for him to be recognized, not for who he was 30 years ago, but for the man that he had become, right? Not only was it time for him to be recognized, but it was also time for us as a nation to recognize what happens when men of different diverse backgrounds have respect for one another and provide opportunities and platforms for one another. And I'm talking about Eminem and Curtis Jackson. This constant battle between white men and black men is ridiculous. And it is a battle that has went on for centuries, because people have not wanted to take accountability for what took place before their time period. People have a hard time taking accountability for what their ancestors did. And so instead of just saying that that was wrong and then and creating an opportunity to elevate and promote somebody so that you can be the answer, you would rather plug into the toxicity and continue the narrative about black men. And it's just not true. It's just not true. Curtis and Eminem represents what happens when we put aside the centuries of fighting between multicultures of individuals, and we decide that there is a greater purpose in earth, right? Is there a greater purpose in earth than music, other than the story of Jesus Christ, right? Entertainment is it. It drives societies, it pushes cultures, it shifts paradigms, and it changes perspectives. What better example than Curtis and Eminem? Two of the best friends, right? And what does it represent both ways? That Eminem presented the opportunity to 50 Cent, and that it also represents the representation of how African Americans and Black people have lent our platform and embraced various cultures as family for centuries. That's just naturally who we are. So when people try to make us dangerous people and people tried to make us violent people. That's not who we are as a people. And we've proven that through the example of Martin Luther King and many other figures, prominent figures throughout American history. But the writing and the entertainment has chosen to constantly shed the darkness on a misrepresentation of who we have become as a society and who we are and what we represent in humanity. And I am so excited about the fact that I've seen a shift in the narrative of writers. And so when I say a shift in the narrative of writers, I'm talking about my Caucasian peers and various multicultural peers, because the writing from African Americans is still very nominal, right? To see that an African American is a major writer on a major television or movie platform is still a rare thing, right? And so when I hold up and I talk about, or when I hold up my peers in the writing industry, I was talking about people who have decided that they want to be the change in the earth and change the narrative to society, right? To represent a different story. That's everything. That's everything. Because entertainment, television platforms have driven this narrative that is so contrary to the truth, right? And so I wanted an opportunity to come to this platform today to finish part two of the conversation, right? And so, because people are like, why is she so connected to this project in such an intimate way? It represents so many parts of my life and to people who grew up where I grew up and come from where I come from. But as the story and the narrative shifts and changes, Curtis's life shifted and changed as my life shifted and changed. So as people mature and as we expand our horizons and we allow ourselves to be educated, where we came from doesn't have to be who we are and what we represent now. And so now when we look at his life and the people that he has an impact on, it's a different demographic of people, right? And it is his example, and he has opened doors for people that necessarily would not be in the room because of their past and where they come from. But now we have the ability to be in the room because we have an example of what we can become when people believe in us and when we decide to educate ourselves and to expand our horizons. He is also an example of what really people thought that they've been doing all these years and thinking that they're pressing or shifting or changing people's lives by their actions. No, those people didn't do anything but bless him. Every time somebody tried to do something to suppress or oppress his brand, the Lord blessed him, elevated him, allowed him to open the door for him contractually to make money. And he's been living a life beneath the surface since 2007 as a billionaire. Humbleness, right? Not perfect, right? Because I've already mentioned, like, when you have people always opposing and pushing against who you are And trying to make you feel a certain type of way about who you are because they feel some kind of way with you in their presence, it causes you to respond in a toxic manner. And it causes you to go the extra mile when people try you. But now he's surrounded by people in the street, right? And he's surrounded by people in corporate America. They're saying, this is my people, right? Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is my people. And we won't allow, right? We won't allow anything to happen to an individual who has done so much good in the earth. But look how long he's been fighting that battle, right? I already said it. Ain't nobody running up on Curtis Jackson nowhere, right? Tony Yayo, ain't nobody running up on Tony Yayo nowhere. Because he's proven himself. He's proven what he represents to the culture. He's proven what he represents to the business world. I could not have picked a better case study to write a book about, period. That's why I'm plugged in the way that I'm plugged in. And why am I bringing this message? Because I'm really just tired of y'all in my ear. I really am. I'm exhausted with it. And while a lot of times us as women, we suffer in silence, it's time for us to stop suffering in silence and be honest about your experiences and the things that people have tried to put you through and tried to put your child through because they felt some type of way threatened by your presence. It's time for us to be honest about that. You're not what you think you're doing to somebody else, you're doing to yourself. All you got to do is wait on time to take care of it. Right? All you got to do is wait on time to take care of it. Somebody who has consistently tried to do right by people. Period. And so then there's this other notion that people were like, well, I'm not even gonna get into that. I'm not even gonna respond to that. If I felt I'm not gonna redress that. I posted something on Facebook last night and I'm just gonna leave it like that. But I'm wrapping up this case study and I'm doing that through the presentation of Outliers. It is an amazing literary work. I've had some people on the academia level and from the church who feel that it is a phenomenal work of intelligence. And when I talk about it, and when I say intelligence, I'm talking about information, right? Intelligence from the perspective of empowerment. And I hope you don't cheat yourself. And I hope you purchase it. Because it is definitely one of those pieces of work that I think will shift the trajectory of how we do business and how we see ourselves in comparison to others and the lens and the perspective by how we see ourselves and how we see others. This is a safe space for everybody. But every now and again, I have to say something because to shake the consciousness of people, because I don't think people understand that they operate in a spirit of delusion, that the forces of darkness and light are, that's real. Ain't nothing fake about that. There are people who wake up every day and operate out of a dark space. And it takes people to be bold enough to come to a platform and bring the light and to say that, and to say what I've said. And I hope that it becomes a trend to be the light. I've seen a shift in trajectories of the culture, of the dissemination of information, and of what people are willing to place on platforms and who people are willing to place on platforms. Because you can't represent one thing behind closed doors and then try to bring a message of light when you've been operating from a place of darkness. And I believe in redemption, and I believe in grace, but I believe that people also have to prove that the negativity and the damage that they've caused, that there is some that there is some that they have taken accountability and responsibility for it. And that's not nothing you do overnight, right? That's a process. If you're still not talking to somebody that you betrayed, there's no accountability in that. If you still have not had a conversation with somebody, that you know that you've done something to them just because you were in a dark space, in a dark place, and you've done nothing to make that right, that's a reflection of who you really are. And I think we're moving towards a time period that we don't allow people to operate in that, the double consciousness of being an imposter. Like, it's one thing to think you're an imposter, it's another thing to really be an imposter. And hear me, I'm not talking about anybody specifically. I'm just talking about a spirit of delusion that's been operating in the earth, because everybody wants to be successful, and everybody wants to have a platform, and everybody wants to be recognized, and nobody wants this person to make it, or this person to be this and that, because we feel this type of way about their brand, or we feel this type of way about their faith. It's just time to sit all of that foolishness aside. And it's been led by a toxicity that, unfortunately, I think the church has had some responsibility for. And then it just starts showing up in other spaces, like in the workforce and in entertainment, right? And so that's my 50 cents. And so my name is Tanola Oliver. I am the COO of Elect Leadership Academy Foundation, and I am also the COO of the Making of the Mogul radio show and the Making of the Mogul magazine. Wilton Oliver is the CIO of the Making of the Mogul, I'm sorry, of the ELA Foundation. And also a writer of the ELA, the Making of the Mogul magazine. And so thank you so much for believing in what we do and believing in what we have to offer in this particular space. And I'm looking forward to us expanding, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with the class of 2023 at various levels, because I believe in you. I really do. And until we see each other again, live in the overflow. Peace. Utilizing a budget is the beginning of knowledge for increasing income. Hello, my name is Tanola Oliver. I am the COO of Elect Leadership Academy. I am also the host of the Making of the Mogul radio show and magazine. I am pleased to present with the ELA Foundation a 5-day work intensive on household budgeting. This course is for the advanced and for the beginner. Key takeaways include budgeting for travel and entertainment, learning budgeting tactics to save, creating a plan that's easy to follow, knowing when to adjust budgets, and number 5, Really, what is the intentionality for creating budgets? My purpose and what I do best is reading budgeting statements and creating budgets. I've been doing it for several years for major corporations and organizations. I am bringing this particular skill set to your household to teach you how to look for opportunities where you're leaving money on the table for your household. You could be utilizing that money to save, or you could be utilizing that money to pursue your dreams. I'm excited about interacting with you in this particular 5-day intensive workshop. And I'm also excited about helping you create opportunities for advancing your household budget and creating opportunities for income. Again, my name is Tanola Oliver. I am with the ELA Foundation. Look for the link to register, and I'll see you soon. Live in the overflow. Peace.